Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift, and we are live from Capital City Club at the Dream Speak Live Golf Tournament today. I am joined by an All-American national champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson could be putrid after yesterday's performance. She is the queen of improv, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, seven-game winning streak, a tofu taster, Miss Allie Mack. We have the man that lives his life by one word, loyalty, Mr. Gordon Robinson here, getting the ones and twos. And back home, we got Dylan Matthews. And I am an award-winning broadcaster, well, producer, a Gabby Award-winning producer. I am he, and he is I. They call me Squidbilly, the very one and only Bo Morgan. Good morning. We have a lot to talk about, and none of it is good.
What? That's not exactly true.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
As far as sports-wise, we do have a great event that we'll get into at this golf tournament. But, Allie, I said the putrid stands what the P stands for in Michael P. Johnson's name.
I was going to say it stands for Panthers today.
No.
That's rough.
You were not on that field yesterday, Mike, so you cannot take credit for any of what happened yesterday.
I feel blame for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why. Maybe because I was on the plane.
How was the plane?
Well,
you feel blame or you feel guilt?
I don't know. All of the things that are bad when something bad happens and you feel responsible.
Oh, man.
It was quiet. It's funny that you asked because where we were with the locker room situation, you know, getting interviews, it was somber. It's rough, you know, like when it's not good. I've experienced a worse loss on the road than that.
Sure.
And ironically enough, in the same building to a better version of that team. But, it was rough.
Yeah, I agree. Watching that yesterday and trying to find something to talk about for 2 hours with Grant afterwards on the post game was like, you guys know this, and I've told you this, but I'll tell the listeners now. Pre and post are my favorite thing to do. It's my favorite thing about this job. But, man, there are days when you're like, what am I about to talk about for 2 hours? Mm-hmm. And yesterday, Allie was one of them. There is no doubt about it.
Well, thankfully today, we do have a lot of guests that will be joining us on the show, including your former head coach, Mike Smith, will be joining us at 8 o'clock. But let's cover what's been going on since we were last on air on Friday, all three together. Bo, the moment you have feared since I joined the show has just happened. The Braves have won their last 8 games.
Oh.
I know this because, you know, Grant McCauley is my husband. So they beat the Tigers yesterday 6-2. Unfortunately, they have been eliminated from the postseason officially now. A lot of upsets over the weekend. We're going to dive into more of these later. But Clemson lost to Syracuse 34-21. They're now 1-3. Georgia Tech beat Temple. They stand at 4-0. And, of course, we got to talk about that Falcons game. Michael Penix was 18 of 36 for 172 yards before getting benched in the fourth quarter for Kirk Cousins. It was a shutout. Carolina won 30-0.
Woof. You and I were kind of exchanging comments earlier about what that game reminded us of. I brought up the Carolina at Atlanta game 3 days after Christmas in 2014, where we all knew that Mike Smith, you know, who will be joining us today, I think everybody got the vibe that that would probably be the end of his tenure. And I just went back and looked at the numbers. Matt Ryan was 29 of 47, 260 yards, 2 interceptions. He was sacked 6 times. But Cam Newton on the other side, 10 of 16, 114 yards passing. Carolina wins 34-3.
You know, the funny thing about that game, that was for the division.
Yeah, it was like
that was for two.
Crazy to think about because we finished 6-10.
And they finished 7-9.
7-8.
7-8-1.
7-8-1, yeah.
Yeah. I remember that game. I was obviously there. And it just came out and it had all this hype and boom, you laid an egg. I want to say that, and I think there's, if you're blaming one person today for what happened yesterday, you need to add some people to the blame, and there's enough blame to go around. I thought the quarterback played the worst game he's probably played since he was in Indiana, and that was 2 stops ago now. He was awful yesterday. He overthrew it. He underthrew it. He made bad decisions with the football. He had guys running wide open and decided he would go to bad decisions underneath. That was, you know, you can blame some coaching issues as well. Your special teams was garbage. You know, I'm not saying you win the game, but I think it's a different game if you can make the two field goals in that game, and that's why you brought the guy in. That's why the guy's got a job, is because the other guy couldn't make him. I thought defense looked suspect at first, but they ended up turning in a decent performance. You know, Carolina scored 30 points in a game, 20 of which were off of extremely short fields or a pick six.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is I think that listening to Dave talk to Raheem after the game, and he's like, you know, didn't play very well in, you know, two phases. And Raheem just said, no, all three. Like, I don't think we played well in all three. And, you know, the word that Arch used and then said, I don't want to say dysfunctional. And Raheem's like, no, that's exactly what it was. It was dysfunctional. It was dysfunction on all accounts. I mean, you know, Raheem said it himself, got out-coached, outplayed. I think there is enough blame to go around for just about everybody. And it's unfortunate because that was a game that was, extremely winnable is the word I'm going to use.
So I know we're going to dig into everything that went wrong yesterday, what went right, but I do want to talk about something. I don't know, Mike, sometimes you shut off Twitter when things aren't going well. Bo, I know maybe you saw this, but there is a photo going around right now, and I just want to address it, squash it if we need to. It's Raheem Morris on the field after the game smiling. Have you seen this photo going around? Because a lot of people are having an issue with it.
I haven't seen it at all. I shut off Twitter. I tweeted a couple of times during the game yesterday, but read zero tweets.
Okay.
So I don't know if there was any response to that, but I haven't seen it. I'll have to look at it, and that can be frustrating, and I understand how maddening that can be for fans to see something like that.
I think it was just something snapped in a flash. I don't think it was like genuine happiness going across the field.
Sure.
Bo,
yeah.
You saw it.
Well,
what did you think
it's
of it?
Being, you can screenshot anything you want and make something out of it. It's a moment he's having with a player that now plays for Carolina, mm-hmm. Christian Roseboom, who he coached in L.A. And, is it a bad look? Yeah, and I understand fans' outrage because you just got demolished and – as a fan, you're upset, and the last thing you want to see is anyone on that team smiling. However, had you went around and followed every player, you probably would have got a bunch more smiles.
Right.
And guys seeing players that they know that they have relationships with. I think that for me, I see things that I'm not allowed to talk about and I won't talk about because it's a privacy thing and it's part of it. But again, that wasn't the mood that I saw in any of the things behind the scenes that I got. Now, the reality is fans are upset and they want to see that. But it's a bad look, and everyone's going to talk about it, and there's no getting around it. And that's how it is. I mean, I do think that's not why he lost. You know, you didn't lose the game because of something that happened after the game and a smile. And that's not the mindset, I believe, of what the team was. But you know what? That's going to be the narrative.
Well, and I think one of the issues for me, I do think it's a bad look. I understand it. But given the situation yesterday, it's like, okay, that's not what you want to see. I think going back to something Bo just said, that's not why you lost. I'm still not even sure why you lost. Mm-hmm. And that's what's been crazy for me trying to break it down in the post game. Is you go through the numbers, you go through the stats, you go through everything that happened yesterday. I'm not sure what Carolina did well other than not turn the ball over. But even then, I'm not sure that the pick six is what cost you the game to be 30-0. I mean, none of the stats, none of what I saw yesterday would lead you to believe that that was a 30-point victory and a shutout for the Falcons. They ran the ball efficiently. They had a couple of explosive plays. You know, there was some empty yardage at the end of the first half, which we'll get into. They just didn't do any of the small things right.
There's something, I don't know, you know, Penix was off all day. He overthrew guys. He underthrew guys. Again, bad decisions. I don't know what is going on with Darnell Mooney. And don't tell me he's hurt, because I'm not. If he's hurt, then get off the field, and we need to sit him. But he's just not running routes crisp. He looks a step off. Everything between him and Penix doesn't look in sync. Nothing looks.
They look like they don't like each other.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they do. That's what it looks like. He looks like he doesn't like him. Like every time the ball falls incomplete, it's like I'm smacking the ground, or I'm doing something, or I'm kicking dirt, or he smacked the first down marker. It looks like they don't like each other. Hey, it's like, what's going on?
You go to the offense. You know, people talk about the defense gave up this many points. Yeah, they did, but I go look at it. They only gave up 10 points off. Like what I would call a regular drive, a drive that started not on the other side of the 50, on your own side of the 50, or a pick six. And you know, I've heard people talk about, well, they ran it down your throat. 58, they had 18 carries for 58 yards in the second half. They had 110 yards total rushing, so 58 of their rushing yards came in that second half, and primarily a lot of that was late in the game when it was kind of out of reach, right? So, I mean, Bryce Young had 114 yards. You had Teteroa McMillan had 8 targets and 3 catches. They were big catches, but they didn't just destroy you in these. I know Raheem's thing is stats are for losers, but like, if you didn't know the score and you looked at the stat sheet, you would say 2017 game. You wouldn't say you lost 30-0. So, at some point in that game, something happened. And I don't know, but offensively, you look pathetic. Dysfunctional is Raheem's word. I'll go with that.
I'll co-sign on that with you.
Well, we're going to continue to talk about this, but if you have feelings, it is Falcons Monday. We want you to sound off at 929 Morning Shift. We've got a thread going right now. Let us know how you're feeling. We're going to dive into that loss next, live from the Dream Speak Live Golf Tournament at the Capital City Country Club on Sports Radio, 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
McLeod edges up on the left side. Back through the formation comes Ray Ray. They'll slip it to Robinson here, right side. Bijan, first down, 40. 45-50 down the Carolina sideline, shoved out of bounds by Nick Scott in Panther territory, and I think they're going to measure it all the way down toward the 45-yard line.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Morning Shift. We are live from the Dream Speak Live Golf Tournament at the Capital City Country Club. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan's back at the station, and Gordon is on site with us. Get your calls in now for Falcons Monday, 404-726-0929. Let us know how you're feeling. And don't forget, this Thursday we'll have a special broadcast of Dukes and Bell live from Loyal Tavern in Roswell. We'll be setting the stage for Thursday night football, looking ahead to all the big college and professional games this weekend. That is Dukes and Bell Thursday from 2 to 6 at Loyal Tavern in Roswell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Shout out to Dylan for attempting to find a highlight to play on the on the way in. I couldn't help but laugh just a little bit. I'm like, I don't know what we're going to play. I really don't.
Well, not going to lie, it was kind of tough. It was not much to pick from.
No. Shout out, man.
No, Dylan, you don't play fake highlights from us or little plays. Play their highlights on us. That we can call them lowlights for us, and they're playing.
Oh man,
their
the
highlights.
Pick six or the field
miss
field goals.
That's what happened
in
the game.
Geez,
let's not hide from it. That's what happened in the game.
I feel like it's just sticking the knife in and just twisting it, man.
Well, guess what? I
guess this is what we have to endure.
So is
today.
Having this entire conversation.
You're
you
right.
Think this conversation's fun to talk
dude,
about?
It stinks.
You travel up there as I did, and you watch a game and you're like, how are we losing 30-0? Oh, yeah, I remember why.
To an 0-2 football team.
Yeah, well, look, you got to remember, I think give them some credit, too. There's some desperation from that team. They play like a desperate football team, and they found a way to, I read someone yesterday that tweeted Mike, and they were like, the Falcons have turned a deep ball passer into a check down guy. And I'm like, well, do you think the Falcons' game plan is to check the ball down?
It looked like it yesterday.
No, well, that's because –
it looked like it yesterday.
Well, you know why? I watched the quarterback have a wide-open Ray McLeod I mean, wide open, and look at him, and then turn and throw a pick six.
Yeah.
At Bijan. Throw the ball at Bijan's way and throw a pick six.
That
and
Bijan,
not only
that Bijan throw was a check down.
Not only was, yes, I'm aware.
Yeah.
But how about you throw it to the wide open guy? I don't think the game plan was, hey, if you get Ray wide open, check it down to Bijan instead.
Yeah.
And late at that.
It's tough, man. That was tough to watch for sure.
Well, and we are all feeling the disappointment of the game yesterday. 404-726-0929. We've got Andre hanging on the line from Loganville waiting to give his thoughts. Andre, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. I love your show, man. Every morning, you guys are a beautiful moment to me. So, but in saying that, I want to talk to the Falcon fans. I want everybody to understand that we got a young team. We're going to have some growing pain. Michael Penix, his sixth game. To me, he's still a rookie. But, you know, in saying that still, the coaching staff is young at the positions that they are. You know, Zach Robinson, he's a young coordinator. He's going to have some growing pains as well. But I think yesterday was that moment when these young guys coming off a good win on that Monday night, on that Sunday night game against the Vikings, I think this was the game that they overlooked. They felt like because, you know, they're young, hey, we got the swagger now. We about to kick it. We got to kick butt every time we hit the field. And this was their wake-up moment. And I just want the fans to understand we got a young team, young quarterback, and to be a little bit more patient. I know everybody's upset. I'm upset. I've been a Falcon fan since 1967. My first game was the Saints game when we got to fighting in the end zone. That's why I hated the Saints, because I cussed and my daddy whooped me, so I hate the Saints. Anyway, but these guys, just be a little bit patient. Be a little bit patient, and, you know, it's going to be all right. By the end of the year, we'll be fine. We'll be fine, because I like the way that they addressed the loss yesterday. Michael Penix, he took credit for all the bad things he did. You know, not like some people I know would do it at his age. But and Raheem was just straight up, hey, we were dysfunctional. We looked terrible. So, guys, just be patient. Thank you for taking my call, man. You all have a beautiful day.
I appreciate the call, Andre. I just wish you would have named some people. I'm curious who they are. Say their name. Like, that's who Penix is. And like, we interviewed him on with Arch, and you know, being around him, it was, you know, it was not taken lightly by him. I don't think it was taken lightly by any of these guys. I know that, you know, pitchers are gotten people, you know, thinking things. I think everyone took it rough. And that, Mike, I don't know. You tell me. What's one of those ones? How do you process this one? You know, I thought Arch asked Caden Ellis the question. And he was like, "Do you burn the film or do you watch it?" And Caden was like, "No, you go through and watch it. And then you burn the film."
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's going to be – it's a really interesting day for us to have Mike Smith lined up, because I think I don't know how much of the game he even watched yesterday, but I think from a head coach's perspective, that's an interesting question to ask him. And I'm never a fan – I understand there's a time and place for it, and I think great coaches have done it. I'm never a fan of throwing away the film and saying, hey, it's not worth watching, because I think that it is worth watching, because it's never as good or as bad as you think it is. And – you know, I think, Bo, you made a point earlier that they played like a team that was desperate. I don't even know if that's what I saw, to be honest. They didn't sack Michael Penix. It wasn't like they were creating havoc in the backfield. You know, they were running the ball with efficiency, particularly in the second half, like you brought up. But it wasn't like this crazy, like, gritty performance out of them offensively either. Again, and I keep going back to it, and our job is kind of to diagnose and talk about what went wrong. Think there's it was an absolute snowball effect of like a dozen small things went wrong, and they capitalized on every single one of them.
Well,
they did.
I thought they played mistake free, and I think some of that's death. Bryce Young didn't make many mistakes. He didn't make, I don't believe, any mistakes with the football. And defensively, everyone did their job. They play. They were very good tackling. They didn't let you. They weren't broken tackles for big plays yesterday. I mean, they played. Defensively, they didn't get to the quarterback. They didn't get home, but they played well for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back out to the phones. We've got Jonathan from Winder waiting to sound off. Jonathan, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
A couple things. The body language to me, it looked like Penix and the wide receivers or somebody was having a bad day, and like you said, looked like they didn't like each other. But from what I'm sitting, obviously sitting on the couch, it looks like something was going on behind the scenes, and somebody was mad at somebody, or that's the way it looked from my angle. And also, I seen Penix take a couple shots, and he hit his head on the ground, and it looked like he was having neck problems when he went out of bounds on the sideline. He was grabbing at his neck and stuff, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it as well.
Yeah,
but that's just a couple things that I've seen.
Yeah, and, good call.
Yeah, they just looked very off. It looked like they were having a bad day, and somebody was mad at somebody. That's what it looked like from my angle.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, guys? About Grant asked me at one point if I thought that Penix's shoulder was hurting or anything like that, or his back, and I said it probably wasn't coming into the game, but it might be now because he's throwing all arm.
Yeah,
and that's another thing that I couldn't understand watching Michael Penix. And Arch mentioned it in the broadcast. He was like, man, what a crazy throw that was off like the back foot and sidearm and out to the flat. And I kept being like, it was a crazy throw, but why did he throw it like that? You know, like I don't even understand why he did that. And then the next two balls he throws sail over Drake London's head on the far sideline. And it was like, why are you throwing that way?
But that
something was way off.
That was like the second possession of the game.
Yep.
The fact is, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to sit here and blame it all on Penix. I'm a huge fan. It was only his sixth start, but he didn't play well yesterday at all.
No, he did not.
Not decision making. Not with throws. Nothing. And he's not the only one. Darnell Mooney hasn't played a good game in his first two games back. He hasn't played well. You know, you can go all over the place with guys that didn't play well. That's why you ended up losing the way you did. But that's the point for me, is there's something off immediately. He wasn't making quick decisions. The ball was being held, and they were late decisions while some of those balls were intercepted. You know, he had two picks. That's where that come from.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
And they weren't playing him like to check down on all these throws. They weren't all check down throws. That there wasn't the plan.
Yeah, no, I put this one 50% on Zach for the offense performance and 50% on Michael Penix. I think they both have to have some ownership of it. I think it's very easy to say it's all on Zach and Zach needs to be fired, or Penix is terrible and he's not the guy. It's both. You know, I think that Michael Penix was off, and I don't think Zach Robinson did anything at all to make him comfortable. This is why in football you have screens. This is why you have end arounds. This is why you have draws. This is why you have gap scheme plays with pullers and everything else. We showed none of those. We ran wide zone. We ran a little bit of inside, and we ran five-step drops. And, you know, I think that Michael Penix was bad. I don't think Zach Robinson did anything to help him. And I do want just one thing before we go to break. The first caller, and I can't remember the gentleman's name,
Jonathan.
But he was talking about
Andre.
How Penix is young. The whole thing with the headset communications, which became a big talking point.
Mm-hmm.
Arch mentioned this multiple times, you know, in our conversations with him, and I've known quarterbacks who have talked about this. That is a learning thing that Michael Penix will never have as much difficulty with as he did yesterday. As a young quarterback trying to deal with that and listen to the plays, and you're in an away game and there's a raucous atmosphere, he's going to now have those plays in his back pocket that he can utilize moving forward, and that's something you learn from and grow from.
I do know, too, that there was some type of issue, apparently, in his helmet with the headset. I know that they worked on it on the sideline. The referee, I don't know if y'all were – if the TV was in a break or not. I think TV was in a break. The referee either advertently or inadvertently turns on his mic and was like, the Falcons are complaining – this is Atlanta – is complaining about headset issues with the quarterback. And because basically if they're having an issue, if theirs goes out, the other team has to turn theirs off until you get it both fixed. So that was an issue that I know that they talked about. I know that it was an issue, though, last week, too, in Minnesota. So, you know, this is a wordy offense, Mike. We've talked about it, where everybody's getting an assignment in the huddle, which takes time, but – it's just rough all around.
Well, I do want to say thanks to Jonathan and Andre for those calls. Todd, I'm sorry we weren't able to get to yours. By the way, Dylan, you cannot call yourself a Georgia native if you are spelling Winder that way. But you can continue to tweet us at 929 Morning Shift if you want to sound off about that Falcons game. Coming up, we are going to get into some college football. What is Dabo going to do? And we've got my Allie Mack drop. I don't have the words for yesterday's loss, but AI is here to cheer us up. That is next. live from the Dream Speak Live Golf Tournament on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Yes, it is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift, and we are live from the Dream Live Speak Golf Tournament. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the station. Gordon's keeping us on air out here. Now, number 18, Georgia Tech beat Temple 45-24. They stand at 4-0 at this point.
I think I saw something that Tech could be favored in every game they play until Georgia. That's cool. That's cool. Look, but you got to keep take care of business. This could be a special year. You know, I think it was said first on this show, at least on this radio station, about what could Tech do, which was 10 wins, and we were mocked by other shows, and I think that says all you need to say about the people that mocked us, because this team has a real good chance to win 10 games.
They're a good team. You got to avoid the lulls of the season. The schedule does match up for you well, and I will say they are ranked at number 16 right now. That is right in front of number 17, Alabama, who I have on my hat today and who has a big game in Athens this weekend. So shout out to Brent Key and Georgia Tech. They take care of business in the right way this weekend.
Number 4, Miami. I'm sorry, Bo. Beat the Gators 26-7. They are at 4-0.
The score is way worse than the actual game if you watched
it. You thought so?
Well, yeah, because I don't think their offense played good enough to put up that many points. But again, it turns into something where you go like the short field opportunities, and they're scoring off 25-yard drives at this point. Offensively, you look pathetic right
well,
now.
Well, that's immediately where my head went.
But
was
defensively,
the
Florida went into this game with three starters on the defensive line out.
Yeah.
And they held Miami in check. Carson Beck, if that's your Heisman Trophy winner, we should just not give the damn trophy out this year. Because I don't see how he's a favorite for the Heisman Trophy.
I'd be curious to see, and I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm wondering if the Gunnar Stockton didn't gain some odds just after this weekend by not playing. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where sometimes you sit out the weekend and it's like, oh, everybody else looked like crap. Let's slide some pieces up the board. Miami is ranked number 2 in the new AP poll, though. That is a good team. Now, is it because of everything Carson Beck is doing? Absolutely not, but that's a win they should have had, and it's a lopsided win at that against an in-state rival. So, yeah, they got 7 votes for number 1, too. That's crazy.
Well, we are about to get to Mac Drop, talk about that Falcons game, but I just want to mention this last game because I'm confused as to what is going on. Clemson took another loss over the weekend to Syracuse, 34-21. They're now 1-3.
Yeah, Dabo sounds bad.
Yeah.
After what he did last week and then to come out and lay another egg.
Right.
It's awful optics. It just is. And I'm sure that he's like, you know what? Fire me. I'll go somewhere else. They might. They might. If you keep losing like that, don't test their gangster. They might. They might do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. They looked bad all the way around. You know, Fran Brown had a plan and jump on them quick. That onside kick after you take the opening kick and go right down the field and score a touchdown was brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. They executed it perfectly. You jump on them, and Clemson was playing catch-up. Cade Klubnik has – I know that he played good last year, but in the biggest moment of the year last season to me against South Carolina, he made a horrid mistake, and he does not play well. Now Syracuse lost their starting quarterback doing a torn Achilles in that game. So
terrible.
I'm not sure where their season will head, but that – Clemson has to win out now to get in the college football playoff. I'm just thinking that seems like the least. That's the least of their. Just like we shouldn't be worried about winning the division right now as a Falcons fan. You should be worried about righting the ship and trying to get this thing figured out. That's exactly where Clemson is at.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, it was a crazy weekend in college football, but Clemson definitely one of the downtrodden parts of it. I do want to do real quick. I did look up the latest Heisman Trophy odds. How about Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback at Indiana, now leading the Heisman Trophy odds at +800, according to FanDuel. John Mateer is in second at +900. Carson Beck has slid back to third at +1300. So be interesting to keep tabs on that. Gunnar Stockton at fifth on FanDuel at +1400 after not playing this weekend. But he's going to be center stage this week when Bama rolls to town over in Athens, so that'll be one to keep track of. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta. This Saturday at 8 a.m., we get the day started with College Football Game Time, brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all the big matchups. That's all this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, real quick, that Clemson loss does make me curious what the conversation between A.J. Terrell and his brother Avion was this weekend. Like, what? They're both going through it at this moment in time. You know what I mean?
That's such a good point. You're like, dude, we had a rough weekend. Yeah, we did too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Commiserating at its finest.
Did you see at the end of that, I don't want to derail, but at the end of that game, the Clemson game, three Clemson players went up to Fran Brown at the end of the game and talked to him, because obviously Fran Brown was at Georgia and he recruited all three of those guys, I'm sure, but Avion Terrell was one of them, just showing the respect. And I think he's a lead. I think Avion Terrell,
just showing respect?
He's a leader of they're not going to go to Syracuse.
I don't know. They might just be keeping their lines of communication open. That's
okay.
All I'm saying.
Well, you know what? Now you sound like they. Allie, to you.
All right. So we are going to talk about the Falcons' loss yesterday. It was 30-0 in Carolina. So I don't really have any words to cheer us up. So I turned to AI yesterday to get us another song to hopefully get us going. This song that AI came up with is called Rise Again in ATL.
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
Dylan, hit it.
Oh, yeah.
Last night was cold, the score was cruel. Panthers 8, we played the fool. But the band still stands like a crowd on a hill. ATL don't break, we just been with the will. Took a hit, but we ain't done. Ain't no quitting in the 404 sun. Charlotte had the night, it's true. The next we command is we coming for you. Rise again, in ATL. We don't fold, we don't dwell. Shake it off, hit that bell.
Yeah?
This is so incredibly well done that it's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying to listen to this.
So,
just so I'm clear, this is not a person's voice.
This is not a person's voice.
So when we go to AI concerts in the future for these AI-generated albums that are going to be out there, how are we going to, like, what's the performance going to look like? And also, are we at the point where we're never going to be, like, humans are just going to be void of being able to make a living soon?
I mean,
because that's where we're going. I mean, you know, like,
listen, you still have to tell it what to do, and a cup of water could be its demise, okay? Like,
well, that's a good
point. But I saw The Terminator and The Terminator 2. So I'm going to tell you that it ain't all fun and games.
I'm just like, every time I hear something like this, I always think of, like, what jobs are fastest to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always going to be, in my opinion, obviously artists, musicians, mm-hmm. people with opinions. But I also think of, like, house DJs. And, like, at what point is a house DJ just non-existent? You know what I mean? At what point you're just like, hey, I wrote this AI program. He's going to spin on the ones and twos. You know what I mean?
You could argue right now that house DJs don't really do anything. They just hit a button. Like, some people just have that
track.
Oh,
better be
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow. See, normally I'm the one saying stuff like that, but today it was Ali Mack.
What size shoe is that you're pulling out of your mouth right now?
Wow.
Oh, man.
My bad, Gordon.
Those boots you got on are going to hurt.
Gordon and I spend a lot of time together right now because he's out of the Kia remote.
Let me tell you something.
Apologies to all the DJs out there. That was rough, Allie.
Gordon has a hat on that says loyalty. You might have just lost all the loyalty he had for you. I tell you that much.
Hey, Gordon, just know Allie said it, so don't take us off the air, bro. Please.
The ones that I'm thinking of is like Paris Hilton standing back there. Do you actually think Paris Hilton knows what she's doing
there
back
was, there? Was it Brody Jenner who used to come in town, I think, to play like a gold club or something like that, Privé, one of those places,
right.
And it'd be like, bro, what?
Yeah, no, there's no way.
Shaquille O'Neal does that. Shaq, DJ,
Play.
I don't remember what he goes by, but DJ Diesel, there it is, yeah, DJ Diesel, there you go. Yeah, and I don't, you know, it's like, okay, cool, that's a cool hobby for you, but I don't know, I just, I hear that, and it just blows my mind that's not even a real person's voice. And I'm like, dude, this is just, we're just getting weeded out one by one. Was terrifying.
Did it do its job, though? Did it cheer you up after yesterday's loss?
Well, I think it's a very, very well done writing by you. But no, not that. It sounds like a Sprite commercial.
Can you ask it what went wrong yesterday? That's the next question.
It's not.
What happened? Should we have completed a couple more third downs? Did Darnell Mooney need to be more involved on 11 targets? That's what I want to know. Next time you talk to old AI over there, just see if they can let me know what exactly happened yesterday.
Well, if you are upset about yesterday's loss, as we all are, we are taking your calls today, 404-726-0929. You can also tweet at us. We're going to read some of those next. Again, taking your reaction for Falcons Monday from the DreamSpeak Live Golf Tournament on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.